Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking about a new round of price increases on Tesla vehicles. It's been a while since we've had one of those. We'll talk about what that might mean for the business. Then we'll talk about the main takeaways from a big Investor Day presentation today from General Motors. They shared more specifics on their targets and plans for 2030, then a couple other things as well. Another day in what has turned out to be a relatively quiet week for Tesla stock so far. Tesla finishing up 0.3% today to $782.75. Lagging a little bit behind the NASDAQ, which finished up about 0.5% on the day. All right, so it's been a while since we've talked about this subject, but last night Tesla did finally increase their prices again here in the United States after a series of price increases in the first half of this year. Aside from a couple changes on the S and the X early in August, Tesla pretty much held prices throughout the third quarter. So if we look at our handy dandy price change table, we can see the changes here. Tesla has raised the price on the standard range Model 3 by $2,000 up to $41,900. No change on the long range Model 3, but the performance was increased by $1,000 up to $57,990. As for the Model Y, both trims there increased by $1,000. So the long range now at $54,990 and the performance $61,990. No further changes to the Model S and X price at this point, but you can see that so far this year, Model 3 and Y have risen by $2,000 to $5,000 depending on the trim, and Model S and X have risen by $10,000 except for the Plaid Model X. And if you are more of a visual learner, I think the table is actually a little bit easier to understand in this case, but you can see here the charts for the price changes across each of these vehicles so far in 2021. Now, the reason I say I think the table is a little bit better is because these lines are so flat, I think to some extent it kind of hides how impactful these price changes actually are to the business. To better understand that, we can do just some very, very simple math here. We know that Fremont is producing a little bit more than 100,000 Model 3 and Y per quarter. We know that most of that's going to go to the United States. So let's just say it's 100,000 per quarter just to keep things simple. And here we got price increases from $1,000 to $2,000. The only one we didn't see was the long range Model 3, but the biggest increase, $2,000, was to Tesla's lowest price vehicle, the standard range Model 3. Kind of a side note, but that should actually push the mix a little bit more towards the long range Model 3. Because it becomes a better relative value proposition than it was before, or said another way, the savings amount for opting for a standard range vehicle is less, so fewer people are just going to opt for that. That'll improve average selling price from a better mix. Kind of counteracting that would be the performance increasing in price, though that will be a much smaller impact, so probably not worth worrying about too much. Anyway, the point that I'm going after here is that between the Model 3 changes and the Model Y changes, I think the average selling price probably is going to increase by $1,000 to $1,500. So conservatively, I think we're safe with estimating 1,250 across 100,000 vehicles per quarter. That ends up being $125 million. And pending materials prices, which again, we'll talk about in a second, that revenue drops straight into operating income. On an annualized basis, that's $600 million. And for some more context on that, that's more than Tesla's entire annual operating income from less than 2 years ago, 2019. Even just looking at the most recent quarter, so Q2 this year, Tesla did $1.3 billion in operating income. That was a new record, but if you add $125 million to that, all of a sudden you're increasing your operating income by about 10%, even though these price increases were only about 2 to 3%. That's a pretty big deal for such a small change, and it's a very simple example of, favorite topic, operating leverage. Now, the obvious counterargument, as I mentioned, is materials prices, and obviously costs on a lot of things have been increasing by a lot this year. So it's a very fair point, is Tesla just raising prices to offset increased costs? If we look at some commodities prices here, steel looks like it is kind of at a one-year high right now. Same thing with aluminum. Aluminum has just continued to rise throughout the year. Both look like they're up about 35-45% so far year to date, and obviously Tesla using a lot of those materials. Not everything is up though, so if you look at nickel, it's actually fallen quite a bit over the last quarter, as has iron, which is sitting at a 52-week low. Now, Tesla's likely locked into longer-term supply contracts, so the spot prices here may not really even matter that much. Depends how those deals are structured. But our best insight into this was Tesla's Q2 earnings report, where the exact same cost of materials questions were raised, and Tesla answered by posting an automotive gross margin excluding regulatory credits of 25.8%, their best since before the start of Model 3. So yeah, Tesla's cost of materials is probably increasing, but you gotta remember that Tesla's cost to actually build a car is going down fast. Plus you're getting more and more Model Y in the mix, and Model Y margins obviously are looking very strong. That's helping offset that. So Tesla doesn't need to be raising these prices. Cost of materials might help push things in that direction, but it's certainly not the only reason. At the beginning today, I said Tesla is finally raising prices. The reason I said finally is because we have seen Tesla's order backlog seemingly continue and continue to grow. New orders right now for the standard range Model 3 and the long range Model Y are out to April in the United States. And I think we just recently talked about this, might have been in the live stream on Saturday, but at some point you got to kind of capitalize on that, because in that situation, having a lower price isn't actually helping sell any more cars. Instead, sell the same amount of cars that you would sell anyway at a lower price and earn more capital that you can use to invest in the business. Now, I know Tesla in the past has said that they don't feel like they're capital constrained in terms of growth, but that doesn't mean that they don't have a good way to deploy their capital. And even with the Bitcoin purchase, that doesn't mean that either. Tesla can use extra capital to pay down debt and eliminate interest payments going forward. They could invest more in infrastructure, charging, service, stores, whatever. They could even use better margins in the automotive business to offset lower margins if they wanted to in the solar business if they felt like that would help drive more solar sales. So you can't look at it in this one individual bucket of saying, oh, the vehicles are more expensive, how does that serve the purpose? It's a holistic picture, and if a price increase isn't resulting in fewer car sales, then it's likely that it does actually further the mission. That being said, Tesla does still have to be thoughtful about it. You don't want to be raising and lowering prices every time there's a shift in demand. So they have to be confident that demand is going to stay at a certain level, which again, it's looking very strong. And of course, we do have a potential federal EV tax credit change looming. It's also worth reiterating that new vehicle prices in general have continued to rise. So KBB for August reporting that new vehicle sales in the US are coming in above $43,000. That's the fifth consecutive month, setting a record in a row. I don't think we have September reports yet. But the Model 3, even with this new higher price, is still, at the opening price point, priced below the average new car sale in the US. So anyway, we're not going to see the result of these price increases come through for a little bit, because there's obviously that delay from order to delivery. So kind of crazy, but some of this isn't actually going to show in the financials until Q2 next year. But that has been ongoing, so the price changes that we saw in the first half of 2021, those should really start to come through here with the Q3 results in a few weeks. All right, so let's move on here. GM hosted an investor day today, discussing their plans and strategies heading towards 2030. They've put out some rather ambitious targets, which they have summarized here in a rather pernicious, at least to my eyes, press release slash infographic. It's like they kind of wanted to do dark mode, but just in a really not good way. Anyway, the headline news here is that they expect their annual revenues to double by 2030, and they're using their rolling 10-year average of $140 billion. So they expect $280 billion in revenue 2030. That would be up from 2020 levels of about $122 billion. They also expect significant margin expansion. They say they want margins to grow to 12 to 14% by 2030. How are they going to get there? Well, they expect their software and new businesses to grow at 50% compound annual growth rate through 2030. They expect 20% margins on those new businesses, as well as improving margins on their core auto business as EVs scale and battery costs decline. They believe they can grow EV revenues to 40 to 50% of auto sales by 2030. It's not clear to me from this lovely infographic if that is inclusive of plug-in hybrids or if that's just pure BEVs. As for what those new business lines are, they expect Cruise to generate potentially $50 billion of annualized revenue by the end of the decade. So that's, of course, the autonomous driving arm. Then they're expecting $20 to $25 billion of annual revenue opportunity by 2030 from what they're calling Altify Software and Services, which to me right now reads like basically a placeholder for whatever GM thinks they can imagine for a cloud-based software service for a vehicle, which I think their vision can be summed up by the short little snippet in their press release on Altify, which says, quote, "Users will benefit from Altify's advanced cloud-based connectivity to seamlessly integrate important aspects of their digital lives. In the future, for example, internal cameras could be used for facial recognition to start the vehicle's engine. Based on route planning and GPS, teen driver settings could be adjusted for extra caution in a school zone, or vehicles could even communicate with a smart home en route to deactivate the security system and adjust the thermostat," end quote. These are the best examples that GM could come up with to capture the vision for Altify, which I guess they imagine generating $20 to $25 billion a year. I guess that part's not exactly clear. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But are you really going to charge someone for a camera that looks at them and then starts their car's engine? Are you really going to charge people to have their car have a speed restriction for a teen driver? Are you really going to charge someone for something they could easily just do on their phone in terms of adjusting their thermostat or security system? I guess some of those features are nice to have, but they shouldn't be a cornerstone for your 2030 aspirations. Stuff like that, at that point, that's basically just going to be price of entry. Anyway, back to our favorite infographic. They do also, in the software and services section, note Super Cruise and a new Ultra Cruise, which will be their next generation driver assistance technology coming in 2023. So that's where I'm not exactly clear if Super Cruise and Ultra Cruise are included in that $20 to $25 billion, because they just say that that's based on Altify, and the Altify press release doesn't mention anything about Super Cruise or Ultra Cruise. They better hope so for their sake. But anyway, Ultra Cruise next generation technology, which they say is ultimately designed to enable hands-free driving in 95% of all driving scenarios, and that it can eventually be used on every paved road in the US and Canada. They say it'll cover more than 2 million miles of roads at launch in the US and Canada, with capacity to grow up to more than 3.4 million miles of road, including city streets, subdivision streets, paved rural roads, and highways. So that's up from Super Cruise, which is only available on 200,000 miles of road. GM says Super Cruise and Ultra Cruise will coexist, and that Ultra Cruise will only be available for premium vehicles. As for hardware, they don't give a ton of specifics on the compute. They just say 5-nanometer scalable compute architecture. Then for sensors, they are planning on using a combination of cameras, radars, and LiDAR. GM's EVP of Product Development, Global Supply Chain, and Purchasing said, quote, "We believe that the combination of different sensors, or sensor fusion, leads to the most robust hands-free driver assist system for our customers," end quote. Lastly, they had a couple of vehicle announcements, the biggest ones there being that they will unveil the Chevy Silverado EV at the 2022 Consumer Electronics Show on January 5th. They also announced that they have plans for a Chevy crossover EV priced around $30,000. I would imagine this would be sort of the second generation of the Bolt EUV, which to me doesn't really fit into the SUV category, but we'll see what GM does there. Anyway, those were the big takeaways. As for GM's $280 billion 2030 revenue target, I'll be taking the under. All right, last couple of quick things today. First, just kind of an interesting update from ARK Invest. They have announced that they will be leaving their New York City headquarters and moving it to St. Petersburg, Florida, so kind of in the Tampa Bay region. They also announced that they'll be building an innovation center there to help attract and retain talent. So kind of interesting there. And then lastly, just a reminder that tomorrow is Tesla's annual shareholder meeting. So that is at 4:30 Central Time or 9:30 p.m. UTC. And just like we do for earnings calls, I'll be streaming it through the Tesla Daily channel. If you want to tune in, I'll take notes live, I won't interrupt, and then we'll discuss afterwards. Also, if you do still want to vote for questions, you can still do that at saytechnologies.com. So that's where we'll leave it for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the annual shareholder meeting. Thank you.